Hey mamas, and welcome to the Entering Motherhood podcast. This is your one-stop, go-to place for getting you from feeling drained, exhausted, and unfulfilled in motherhood to feeling more energized, organized, and accomplished. That's the vision I continue to navigate towards, and that's the vision we are sharing with you, focusing on holistic alternatives and restructuring your mind, body, and soul from the inside out. I'm your host, Sarah Marie Bilger, a wife, mom of two, mechanical engineer, VBAC mom, and doula, serving mamas through pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. If you're here for this, if you're as pumped up as I am and searching for that fire that you know is deep inside of you, then let's go. Let's uncover what it truly means to enter motherhood. You are a rock star. I believe in you. Let's doula this. Let's crank it up a notch and let's kick it into high gear together. Hey mamas, I am so excited to share this episode with you. We speak with Alicia, who is a stepmom coach, and she is a stepmom herself. She actually entered motherhood for the first time as a stepmom, and now her and her husband have another child together, and she talks about her journey of what motherhood was like when she was really thrown into the deep end and having full-grown children as the first time being a mother, and then navigating things and going through the process of having a child with her husband after already entering motherhood as a stepmom, and then how she helps other moms really navigate this unique time in their life and go through this process. And so maybe you're not a stepmom, but this episode is just super insightful, and we have so many other things that we relate to, and we really just realize, like, we're all just moms. No matter how you enter motherhood, you are going through a lot of the same emotions and a lot of the same situations and a lot of the same experiences, even though we have unique journeys and unique ways of getting there. So I think that you're going to find so many tips in here. And if you are a stepmom or know that that is going to be your journey and something that you're stepping into, then be sure to reach out to Alicia and follow her more and get more information. So hope you enjoy this episode. See you later, mamas. Hello and welcome to Entering Motherhood. I am really excited to have you here because we have never had a conversation quite like this. So I am just pumped to get started and listen to your story and what you do and how you help moms. So how about you go ahead and introduce yourself for the listeners?
All right. Hello, I'm Alicia Krasko. I'm a stepmom coach. I have two stepkids, a 19-year-old stepson and a 22-year-old stepdaughter. And then my husband and I also have an hours baby. And if you're in the blended family, step family arena, you know that that means like a kid together. So we have a 4-year-old daughter. So we've got an age gap between my husband and I, 16 years. And then between my stepkids, there's 18 years between my daughter and my stepdaughter, and then 15 years between my daughter and my stepson. But yeah, it's been a wild ride of like starting out as a stepmom, and I'm sure we'll get into this too, but like, I didn't have that bonding experience. We kind of talked briefly about this right before we hit record, but I didn't have that bonding experience like right from day one. You know, I didn't come in at ground zero. I came in when they were 8 and 11, and you don't have this well of a reserve to like pull from when things get hard. Right. And so it's everything's already been set up. Like they've got, you know, like their roles as like how the family plays out, like with mom and how it plays out with dad and grandparents and whatever. And then like I come in and I've got my own idea of like how I think things should be ran, which is never a good start. Let me just say that if you're a stepmom listening to this, do not come in guns blazing like I did, learn from my mistakes and try to fix things that you didn't break. Right. But then also just learning to like observe and see how things go and like where you can make tweaks. And something that I really drive home with like stepmoms that I coach is connection over correction. So when you come in and like, to put it in simple terms, like this is an analogy I use quite often, if you and I are out and I make a joke at your expense, you're going to be okay with it because you like me and, you know, we're friends and whatever. But if somebody you don't know or somebody you don't like, let's say that somebody you don't like makes a joke at your expense, that doesn't land very well, right? So if you come in as a stepmom and you try to make all these changes, obviously you're the bad guy, you're the scapegoat. It's easy for the stepmom to be the scapegoat, and then no one really likes you. And they definitely don't like that you're trying to make all of the changes. So yeah, you don't have that like reserve of just like being there from day one. But in a nutshell, that's me and like how I coach and my whole thing.
So what was that process like? Like what was your day one? What was, you understanding like you were going to be having these children in your life and you were going to be their mother. And so you were entering motherhood in a whole new realm and a whole new kind of aspect of going through that process.
Well, let's see. I know we've got like a little bit of time. I was 26 when I met my husband, and you know, I always loved kids, and kids have always loved me. And I was like, this is going to be so great. Like, what could possibly go wrong? Aside from everything, everything. But I didn't come in wanting to be their mom because they already have a mom and she's actively involved. I didn't want to be their dad. They've already got a dad, right? And then there's like the societal part of like, you're enough until you're not, right? Or show up and do all of the things for your stepkids and show them that you care and be there. But then also that's too much and that's overstepping. So you need to stay in your lane. Well, what is it? Because then on the flip side, if I don't show up and I don't attend all of the sporting events, or I, you know, I'm not their biggest cheerleader, it's because I'm an evil stepmom and I hate them. Well, so then I'm like caught between a hard place and a rock, right? Like if I show up and do too much, I'm too much. If I don't show up and I don't do enough, I'm not enough. Or, you know, I can have all the fun in the world with them, but then I can't be frustrated by anything that they do, or I can't be upset, or, you know, God forbid I need support. Like, how could you possibly need support? These aren't even your kids, right? And so now that I've got my own daughter, it's funny because I can draw parallels to like things that really frustrated me about my stepkids. I still like are frustrating things like with my own daughter, right? But when I voiced my frustration or my struggles with things that I was dealing with my stepkids, people were like, those aren't your kids. Like, you're not even their mom. Like, you can't be upset by them. You can't be triggered by them. You can't be frustrated with them. Like, they're not even your kids, but they're in my house, right? And I'm expected in some capacity, like whether it's a lot or a little bit, to be the mom or play the mom role at their dad's house, right? But if I voice those frustrations as a mom with my own daughters, like, oh yeah, being a mom is hard. It sucks. Like, there's struggles, you know, all of the things. That was weird coming in at like 26 and realizing like immediately you don't really get to have a say. You can do all of these things, but you can't do that. Or you can, you know, it's just this weird line to balance. And if you're a stepmom and you're listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, it's this weird line of balance of what can I do or what can't I do? And almost like you feel like you have to ask for permission, or you just like silently struggle through all of the things. Once I felt like I got to the other side, full disclosure, I have a good relationship with the kids' as mom. And like, she's remarried. The four of us get along really well. We've done joint graduation parties. My stepson graduated from the military, like basic training. And so like we all did that. We all stayed at the same hotel. We all hung out. It's not a big deal. So just to put that out there, like we've got a great relationship, but it's still weird, right? Like, then my stepson moved in full time with us after we had my daughter. And so I went from like a sporadic part time stepmom to a new mom to then all of a sudden a full time stepmom. And that part's weird because then your dynamic totally changes. And trying to navigate all of these things postpartum, even like, what is happening? Like, looking back, I'm like, that was insane. But it worked out for the best, but just trying to navigate where you fit in is really hard. So I always recommend to new stepmoms that I'm coaching, don't come in with the intention of trying to be the mom. You don't need to replace her. She's there. And it doesn't matter if you like her or not. If you have stepkids and their mom, if you think is less than stellar, fine. That's your opinion. The kids do not need to know that. But at the end of the day, that is still their mom. So whatever you say, however you act towards her, that's still their mom. And people, myself included at times, have that ideal image of their mom, right? And they're not going to see something other than until they're ready to see it. Please don't try to force that. Keep kid appropriate conversations, kid appropriate, age appropriate. But yeah, it was hard to try to figure out where I fit in and like what I could or couldn't do. And I felt like I had no control over my life. A lot of it was dictated by a court order or a custody agreement or a parenting plan, depending on where you're, what state you're in or what country you're in. And that was really frustrating for me, like being super type A, super ambitious, like I'm so good at running my life, let me run yours, to all of a sudden like, wait, you guys are running my life with something that was decided before I even showed up. This sucks. I want no part of it. I spent a lot of time my first year of marriage Googling how to get divorced because I really, really, really struggled. I did not know what I was signing up for. And that's something that a lot of stepmoms hear. Well, you knew what you were signing up for. You know, your partner had kids when you said, okay, I knew that he had kids. That's about as much as I knew, right? Because you don't know like what emotions are going to come out or what unhealed trauma or what unhealed baggage you've got. Like I came in, okay, listen to this here. I came in and it was like, I'm good. Like I've never been married before. I don't have kids from a previous relationship. No drama, no baggage here until the kids were involved. And you know, children like put a magnifying glass on your flaws or things that you like don't want to see. And then you kind of have to take a step back and think like, why is this bothering me? Why am I being triggered by this? What is happening? Okay, maybe I do have some part of this. Maybe I do need to own like my part and what I'm doing to like perpetuate the craziness that I'm feeling. And once you get that help, once you get that strength and courage to like ask for help, that's where like the change happens. And I remember feeling frustrated because I'm like, I'm going to therapy for people that need to be going to therapy, right? But really, like, I definitely needed it. And it wasn't even, then it got to the point where it wasn't even about the other people. It was about me and like feeling centered and just peaceful, like within my own self and not being reactive to whatever was happening. And I could actually just like think about ways to respond rather than just simmering underneath the surface. You know, like you're nodding, like, yeah, I get it.
It's well, what's coming up for me is it's so interesting hearing you say all this and like really go through it because so a little bit about me, like listeners might have heard this before, but I lost my mom when I was very young. So my mom passed when I was 9. My dad remarried, so I had a stepmom. I was on the other end of this whole kind of thing that you're helping, you're helping stepmoms. I was the child that was now having a stepmom come into my life. So she has also passed. My stepmom passed right out of college, like when I was graduating college. And so it's interesting now, me as a mom, I am starting to see things differently. Even listening to you, like hearing the struggles and like how difficult that must have been for her. I can't have those conversations with her and like know what it was like, but I know like I put up a fight. Like I was like, you are not my mom. Who do you think you are? Like, get away from my dad. Like, and it took a while for me to be like, okay, like she makes my dad happy. And like, that's cool. You know, like I was very okay with the fact that like my dad now had somebody that he was able to, like be with, enjoy. He had a friend, and I saw that change in him. And she had two daughters. So I had two stepsisters. And so I have an older sister and a younger brother. So it was a full-on blended family, And I can only imagine, like, it sometimes felt like her kids and like my siblings. And we were on different playing fields almost, and we all lived together. She had full custody of her daughters. My dad obviously had us because my mom had passed. And so it was all five of us all living together. And it was like, oh, this is my sister and my brother. And then that's also my sister, but it's my stepsister. And this is my stepmom. And then, like, when we would meet people and like, they would be like, oh, like that's your mom. And I'd be like, well, not really. And then they're like, oh, well, where's your mom live? And I'd be like, well, like she died. So like it was like
Yeah,
this
and then they're like,
whole,
oh, sorry.
it was like this whole thing. Like we looked like, a full family, but it was so blended and mixed. And it was very much like my brother was only 3 when my mom passed. So to him, my stepmom was his
His
mom.
mom.
Like he didn't really remember like my mom to the capacity that he could comprehend like anything different. And so when this woman came into our life and it was like my dad's wife, they kind of were like, okay, like you're gonna call her mom. And like me and my older sister were very much like, he doesn't have to call her mom. But I think he was kind of like, I want to call her mom, you know, like because he didn't have somebody to call mom. So he did end up like he would say like mom and stuff, but then like my dad was Steve. So like again, it was like all of these emotions, like all of these feelings, and like I can only imagine like what was going on like in her head, in my dad's head too. I mean, like this is a conversation that I've never like had with him, but there's just so many factors going on, and it is something that you're not fully like, you know, like, okay, I'm marrying this person, and yes, they have kids, but until you're really in it and really navigating it and really understanding, you know, all the different components, will you
It
be able
is
to
a lot.
grasp?
I would say, since your dad is a widow, that's probably the hardest situation to be in, right? Because your mom has now been memorialized at that age that she was when she passed. Forever. And now she's a saint. I have like goosebumps telling you this, but now she's a saint. Like, right? She can do no wrong. There's no way, oh my gosh, that you are, I have like goosebumps all over. But there's no way that your stepmom could ever have lived up to her. Even if, I don't know your mom's personality, but like, even if she had been a yeller, or even if she had been like had tempers, or like, she had rage or whatever, you still remember her as this picture perfect mom, right? Like she was like June Cleaver, and regardless of whatever flaws that she has. And so then this stepmom comes in, and she will never measure up to this woman that you have on a pedestal because she's your mom, but then also because she's passed, right? And how often do people speak ill of the people that have passed? Almost never, right? And so that's really hard. But then when you were talking about how like your younger brother would say, like call her mom, and you guys are like, no. And that's interesting too, because the dynamic, so being on the other side, my parents are divorced too. My dad had remarried, and yeah, same kind of the same thing. Like, that's not my mom, but my mom had full custody. And then she had repartnered, like had dated a guy for like 30 years. And I was like, that is not my dad. And so I too like had been in those shoes too. And so I would say to my stepkids, listen, like I am not your mom and I'm not your dad. Because once it gets into that power struggle of like, you will listen to me because I'm your stepmom. And that's a loaded word too, right? Like I'm your stepmom, right? And I was just like, I don't want that. Like I want it to be kind of like a level playing field. And so, because I know what it's like, but then also, it's okay for you to have a good relationship with one stepkid and not the other. Or it's okay for you to not be close, to not have been close to your stepmom, and then your brother to have been close. Because, like I talked about at the very beginning, I didn't have that well, like deep well or deep reserve of love because I wasn't there from the beginning. But your younger brother didn't know life without her, essentially, right? So that's what he knows. And she came in when he was really young. So she had a lot more of like a reserve, if you will, than she did with you at 9. And 9 is like such a great age to come in, right? Ooh, like starting like,
Well, yeah, like my mom passed when I was 9. We didn't
oh, okay.
have my stepmom. I think I was 13,
Oh,
maybe
even
12 or
better.
13. Maybe, yeah,
Perfect
maybe
age.
like about 12 when they like were dating and stuff, like when she finally got introduced to us, I guess. I don't know. It was very like hard to comprehend. And I
For
feel like when
sure.
you're a kid, things are like so different. Like you don't know like what's going on until all of a sudden it's like, hey, meet this person.
Wait, what?
And it's like, oh, I thought that like we all just hung out. Like I didn't. Okay.
I
But
thought we were
yeah,
just
I mean,
friends.
yeah. So I was like probably 12 or 13. And yeah, I remember like my dad asking like me and my sister, like, hey, like I want to marry this person. Like he showed us the ring and like we were all giddy and stuff, you
Yeah, for
know,
sure.
like so it was like, oh, like this is so exciting. And like we were again, like we were happy for him. But then it was like that realization of like, wait. We're all going to be living together. We have to
Wait,
move.
just
Like,
kidding. I take back my yes.
Yeah, like it was just kind of like understanding like that everything was going to change.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's hard because I think now as a mom, maybe you can understand like her position. And it's a weird area to navigate because you have all of the responsibility of being a mom or a parent, let's just say a parent in any sort of the capacity, but like absolutely none of the authority. None. Like, what do I do? Like, I'm supposed to be doing all of these things, but I don't really have a say. And then, parenting is so touchy. If I were to critique something that you did, maybe you'd be offended or maybe you wouldn't. You'd just be like, whatever. But if somebody's judging you based on what your kids are wearing, based on how they're acting, because of course you can't control kids, right? Which is obviously something that I learned after being a stepmom. Like, you can't control what the kids are actually doing. If they're going to flip out, they're going to flip out. Like, you just kind of got to roll with the punches. But there's so much judgment placed on moms. Where do your kids go to school? All of these things. And then as a stepmom, like, I don't control that, but I'm still judged for the same thing that I don't have any say in. Like, it doesn't make sense, but it happens, right? And it totally happens. And then there's the Disney part of it, right? Where you're the evil stepmom because, you came in and took this guy's wife away or whatever the case may be. And on the exact flip side of that, if a guy comes in and is a stepdad, he's like saving the damsel in distress. What a flip of a narrative, right? I'm a homewrecker because I come in and marry this guy that's got kids, but then my stepkids' stepdad comes in and he's saving the damsel in distress. What is happening? Like, what dimension are we living in? Like, this does not make any sense. So it's just this
Yeah.
weird conundrum of, where do I fit in? And I need to find this out like sooner rather than later, preferably like 2 weeks ago. But you just kind of like learn to go with the punches. And something I think that stepmoms really get hung up on, because I did too, and I kind of touched on it, is the lack of control of what's happening in their house. It seems like you've got spies that live in your house that are reporting back what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're not saying, what you're not doing, or if you and your partner are fighting, like that's all getting reported back to their mom or their other house or whoever they happen to live with. And then if you're in a high conflict situation, that could be used against you, right? And so it feels like you don't really have anywhere to go to escape. So if you're a new stepmom and you're listening, please come back, like listen to this part of it. Create a kid-free zone in your house. Ours was our bedroom area, like our bedroom, bathroom, suite. And I just needed a place I could go to where I could just breathe or like let out the breath that I was holding, because maybe I was going to say something that was going to set somebody off. Maybe I was going to get a weird look and that was going to piss me off. Or, you don't know if the kids are having a bad day with their friends, or maybe they had a bad test, or maybe practice didn't go well, or maybe, they're fighting with their other parent, or maybe they're on their period, maybe like whatever, like all of these things are happening. And it's hard to not take it personally, especially as that outsider, because you feel like everything is directed at you. But then, kind of like to touch on what you had happened to you, like you didn't ask for this other person to be introduced to your life. You didn't ask for your dad to go and remarry. You didn't ask for your mom to pass away. Or, even if they had just gotten divorced, you didn't ask for the divorce. And then now all of a sudden it's like, here's this new person because this is what's happening. And it's the craziest thing. And we spend a lot of time, rightfully so, making sure that the kids are okay. Are you okay with this? Or, your dad, like, hey, I'm going to get married. What do you guys think of the ring? What do you think of her? But then no one ever checks on the stepmom and is like, hey, how are you doing? How are you handling this? How are you navigating this? What are you struggling with? It's just like, you're an adult, like, get over it, like, be the bigger person, which is really hard. Like, if you don't have that mindset or you haven't done that work, it's really hard to be the bigger person and not take everything personally. Oh, yeah, it's
Yeah. So what
wild.
were some things that you were doing to help navigate that?
This is kind of funny. I definitely spent a lot of time, like, doing my nails, like, when the kids would come over, like, on transition day, because I felt like I was on eggshells, and I knew that they weren't here to see me. They were here to see their dad. And I moved into their parents' house. So they have like grown up in this house. And so there's that whole aspect of it too. But sometimes I wasn't ready for it. I always felt anxious. I felt unsettled. And now looking back, I can say they felt the same way. Like they felt anxious because even though we were co-parenting, we parallel parented our houses. So that house, that those rules, this house, these rules, right? And so it was a different dynamic. It was a different environment. And they felt the exact same thing that I felt, I'm sure. But so I would spend time like by myself doing things just to kind of hopefully like center myself or like kind of get myself like back down to ground zero. But then I also realized within that first year when I was Googling, like, how do I get a divorce? Because I did not sign up for any of this chaos or like all of the emotions like you had talked about. I realized like I need help. I'm not navigating this well. I'm actually like drowning over here. Like no one knows because I was doing a really good job of like pretending until I wasn't. And then when it was like, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, like when you become a mom, like there's no manual, but then you've got girlfriends that you can like talk to, or like you can postpartum depression like help or whatever it is. And people are like, oh yeah, super supportive. Just the opposite for being a stepmom. But I was just like, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. So we went to marriage counseling with a step family therapist. And if you are looking for help, I highly recommend if you get a therapist, if you need a coach, I'm happy to help you. But if you decide to get a therapist, please, 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 please get one that specializes in blended families, because what works in a nuclear family or a first family doesn't work in a blended family, because those dynamics are different. You don't have the mom and the dad. You have the stepmom and dad, or the stepdad and the mom, right? So the dynamics are different. But we went, and it was great at first because there was a lot of validation as far as like things that were not going well. And that I had said, like, this isn't going well, this isn't going well, this isn't going well. But again, I don't have any of that authority to like make changes. And so I was like, yes, I love this woman, until she said, okay, Alicia, now let's talk about you. And I was like, I'm not really ready for this part. I wasn't ready for like that to be turned on to me. And she was like, here are the things that you are not doing well. And I was like, dang. I mean, she was right. If I mean at that point, because I didn't know, like you don't know what you don't know, right? And I did not have the emotional IQ to be like, okay, I am not getting my way, rather than flipping out and like letting my husband have it. Maybe I could understand why I'm being triggered, or understand why flipping out doesn't help anyone, including myself. Or how about like we think of or get some better coping mechanisms to kind of navigate this. And you know what? Maybe my husband doesn't need to know everything that I think, especially if it's not good, right? Like if the kids are making you mad, or if the ex is making you mad, like maybe your partner doesn't need to know everything that you think, because that's the soundtrack that they're going to hear long after you're over that disagreement or that fight or that stress or that issue. They're still going to hear those words that you say. So for me, it was controlling my emotions and not letting my emotions control me, but then also being able to self-soothe, which sounds so ridiculous to say as an adult. Like I didn't learn that as a kid. You know, my mom parented like my way or the highway lifestyle. And that's what I did too. Like when I became a stepmom, which doesn't work. Like, let me just go on the record and say that it does not work like at all. So, I switched my parenting style. I do gentle, respectful, conscious parenting, whatever you'd like to call it, which is amazing because it's like a collaboration effort as opposed to do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. But yeah, I had a lot to learn, and you don't know what you don't know. And it's interesting because a lot of stepmoms that I coach, it's like I'm talking to myself. And at the very beginning, like I do an initial like questionnaire before I meet with them, right? So I know your family, I know ages, I know the dynamic between you and the kids, you and your partner, you guys in the other house, your partner in the other house. And you show up to your first coaching call, I'm like, okay, I already know. So we don't spend that first time trying to figure out who's who and what's happening. There are times where I will say things to them like, it's okay for you not to be in control of the situation. We're like, yeah, but this is my life. And I'm like, I know. Believe me, my God, do I know. But it's okay for you to not have things go your way. But I want it this way. And I'm like, I understand that too, right? And you're nodding, like, yeah, I know that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like,
And
I am not a stepmom, but like, these are things that come up in motherhood and just like navigating it. And like you said, like a lot of, things in our past or things that trigger us, they're going to come up. And I think for most of us, majority of us, we will mimic how we were
yeah.
parented.
because we don't know, we just know what was done in our own family dynamic and how that worked. And so we think, okay, now we're the parent. Now we're in this role. What did my parents do? How did that work? And so we immediately jump to, you know, we can only do what we have been taught. And you quickly realize if that is how you want to continue to parent or not. And, you know, for your case, you were coming in with these kids that were already used to being parented and were established and in routines and, you know, the way of things. Like when we have babies, they are learning from us. Like in this aspect, you were both, you know, blending and coming together and learning from each other and different things coming up. So it's just you got thrown into the deep end and really were like, oh my goodness, how do I want to parent? So I mean, that brings up then your daughter now. You know, at what point, how long were you married? And then you decided, hey, we want to have a kid of our own.
Yeah, we got married in 2015 and she didn't come until 2019. So just shy of 4 years later, we brought her in. You know, people talk so much about like the negative aspect of being a stepmom because there are challenges, there are really hard parts. But I will say one really great thing is that it made me a better parent because I really learned to not sweat the small stuff. You know, like I was like super, if the bedtime is 10, you better be in your bed, lights out, 10 o'clock, rain or shine, right? Like I do not care. That doesn't go very well either. Like it doesn't leave. I was very black and white. I'm a lot more gray now, but I digress. But now it's a lot different in the sense that I'm able to have a lot more fun with my stepkids and my daughter because it's not so black and white. And yeah, she learns from us like how our house operates. And one thing that really changed it for us was house expectations. And this was something we learned in our marriage counseling because I felt like, as the adult in the situation, I didn't really know what was going on, like in our house, because sometimes the kids would, you know, be in trouble for doing something, but then the next week they do the exact same thing and like they're not in trouble for it. So it's like, well, what is happening? Like, I'm the adult and I'm confused. I can only imagine as the kid, like how confused they are. So we came up with house expectations, which was very, I'm like, my hands are sweating just telling you about it. Like, I can remember like when we sat down to do them because our marriage counselor had said, okay, sit down, do these. Before you sit down to the meeting, like family meeting with the kids, you guys have to discuss, like before, like what do these house expectations look like? Less is more. So go into this with basically a clean slate or a blank slate, but not really. Like you have ideas of what you want, and then ask the kids what they think. And shockingly, Sarah, like they wanted earlier curfews, they wanted less screen time than like what we would have said, right? But for me, like things weren't going well. Hello, that's why we're like in counseling. You're like, it's not going well. Like I'm like trying one foot out the door, but then I'm supposed to be like collaborating with these people that I'm like, ah, I don't want to do any of this. Like I want to puke. Please don't make me sit at that table. And that really got all of us on the same page because as the adults in the family, like we did that too. So it wasn't like you will do this. We are not doing it. So we did it too. And then, like, we went back and implemented technology rules a few years later because technology with teenagers, I'm sure. And that helped because everyone knew what it was expected of them. So then it became like a safe space, like a safe play area for everyone. And I say play, like, not like we're swinging from the chandeliers over here. Sometimes it felt like that. But like, everyone knew where they were. Like everyone felt safe knowing, like, okay, if I do this week, I'm good. If I do it next week or in 10 weeks from now, I'm still good. Like we all know what's expected of us. It was very structured. There was a lot of routine. And so we built like our own lifestyle, like on top of it, which definitely set us up for success. But then also with my daughter, like she's 4 years old. She helps with dishes. She does laundry. Or she doesn't do it by herself, but like, you know, for her, it's still fun. Like, oh, I want to help you put it in, you know, and I'm like, I
Yeah,
love
our
helping
daughter
you.
is four too.
Oh, perfect.
So,
You get it.
yeah.
Yeah. So they're so helpful. And you're like, it would be so much faster if I just did this myself. But I want you to learn that now. And then I don't have to teach you when you're 13 or you're 15 and you're at that peak age of not necessarily wanting to do those things. Yeah, there are benefits of being a step parent. Like it helps you with that. And to kind of go back to what you touched on earlier when your stepmom came in, you guys already had your own, what your household looked like. And then now you've got these visitors or these guests that are living with you full time. Like, what does that look like? And then the novelty wears off. Like, everyone's off their good behavior now, right? And you realize, oh, they're not guests. They're not visitors. They're here forever. Ugh.
Yeah.
But you know, her family had what that looked like, and then your family had what that looked like. And it's a lot to navigate if you don't have any direction or like any support. That's why I'm always like, get support early and often, please. Oh my gosh, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, like, because I was still a kid, like, I don't know the frustrations or like the dynamic of like what my parents, like what my dad and my stepmom were really kind of like navigating and going through. I remember being super excited that I was going to have somebody to share a room with that was like neat, like as neat as I was, because me and my biological sister, my older sister, are very different as far as like organization and like rooms and like how we liked things. Like, she is like, hey, if the laundry is next to the hamper, like it's close enough, or like things are on the floor, or the bed's not made, like things like that. And so like my youngest stepsister, she is very like bed made. Like, we got matching beds. We like organized how our room was gonna be. We like, you know, it was just like so exciting to like have like a new, I guess, like person in the house that like I was like, my one stepsister and my sister shared a room, and then me and my other sister shared a room, and then our brother, he was just like downstairs in his own room, like away from all the girls. But like, it was exciting, and like I saw it from that kid perspective. And we all, like, there was no, they did go see their dad every once in a while, but he had like very limited visitation. So for the most part, like especially during the school year and during the school week, like it was all of us with one bathroom upstairs.
Oh no. Poor girls.
Yep. Four girls. And it was like a Jack and Jill bathroom. So like four girls and my parents were like all sharing a bathroom upstairs. So we had the downstairs bathroom, but for the most part, we were like all upstairs, like all. So like getting ready with four girls, like in the morning, it was just everyone everywhere. And
oh my gosh.
And we had like more clothes to share or more toys and things. And, you know, it was, I mean, yeah, it was definitely a time, but
I love that you only remember like the kid part of it,
right?
And not like any issues, if there were any issues. Or yeah, I like that you remember only the kid part of it. Are you still close to your step siblings now?
Yeah, so the one lives in Ohio, and the other one is still up in Pennsylvania. And I sometimes wish like we were like closer and talked more and stuff, but I think like life just happens. Like I said, we have a 4-year-old and an almost like 2-year-old. And so like life is busy. We live states away. Like, we see them when we see them. But you know, I wouldn't say that I'm like regularly reaching out to anybody much of the time.
Oh my gosh, I get that too. Like your best friend, you're like, oh yeah, you know, like let's get together. 2 years later, you're like, let's get together.
Right. Yeah. And it will be like weeks go by and it's like, are we doing something? And
Oh my gosh.
Like, what do you love most about helping moms in this capacity?
Ooh, I love, this always sounds weird when I say this, so like, let me just say it before you're like, what a weirdo. I love seeing them go from like, this sucks, to like, oh, that's the perspective shift, or like, that's the change that I needed to make this work. It's not that hard, but it feels like it. Like when you're in the trenches, it feels like this is never going to get better, which is why I was Googling divorce all the time. But I'm like, that's what I love. I love seeing people go from this really sucks to like, oh, okay, I can make this work. I don't have to be Mary Poppins, but I can still make this work. I don't have to be super stepmom. I can just be a stepmom, and giving stepmoms the permission to just be themselves and not so caught up in a competition with the other house that no one knows that they're in, but everyone feels like they're in, right? And just be yourself. And don't feel like you have to do all of the things. It's okay to just be yourself.
And now, what is it like? I mean, with your daughter, they are her siblings. Like, they're half siblings, but I mean, like, they are her biological siblings. Like, what what has that been like? Like, I guess she's four, like she's able to have like a little bit of a conversation in talking in that capacity.
It is cute because my stepdaughter moved out basically. So my daughter was born March of 2019 and my stepdaughter moved out like June. Like that's when her mom moved away, which is why my stepson moved in. And then she started college. And so it's funny to hear her say like, oh, I'm so excited to see my sister. Right. Cause when you say that, people think, you know, maybe she's got like a 6-year-old sister or like a 2-year-old sister or, you know, something like that. But like her sister's 22, like she's a lot older. Right. Or anyway, and my stepdaughter is a great big sister because she, you know, engages with her like in a super playful way, like whether it's faces or like she brings her like little paint swatches, like kids love colorful things. And so she works at Home Depot. So she'll bring her like little like paint samples, you know, like the little cards. And my daughter's always like, wow, these are, you know, she's like so excited. Like just the small things, or, you know, she'll spend time like making faces at her, or she'll bring her like a little toy or whatever, something, but she's always so excited to see her. And then my stepson was here for several years before he left for the military. And that, I'm not trying to cry when I'm telling this story, but when he graduated high school, he went into the military like a month later. And that was really hard because the three of us are really close. My husband travels half the week. So I was solo parenting on top of this. So my stepson couldn't drive when he moved in. So football practice, like the three of us were going, like pack up the baby and like we're all going. Games, the three of us are going. Doctor's appointments, the three of us are, we're like a package deal. And then when he left, his car was still here because his friend was going to buy it and they hadn't worked out the deal. So his car was still here, but he wasn't here. So she's like, well, where's my brother? And I'm like, I'm struggling with him being gone. I miss him immensely because the house is really quiet. He's got a big personality like me. And like, I felt like I was missing my right arm. And I'm like, oh, he's gone. He's not gone forever, but like he is an adult. Like he's starting his life now. And at that point, we only got to talk to him on Sunday. So on Sundays, so we went from seeing him all of the time and having him all of the time to talking to him for like 5 minutes once a week. But it's hard to answer those questions of like, well, where is he? When is he coming back? And then when his friend bought his car and he was gone and the car was gone, it was like, well, now his car's gone. Well, where is his car going? Like, is it coming back? And I'm like, oh, my heart is breaking, right? And then we went to see him in September. And then we went to see him in December, like when he actually graduated. And then we went down for like a really quick trip in February because he was down in Georgia at the time. He had come home for Christmas as well. And so like, that was fun. But then again, he was gone. And like, I get it. Like as adults, we understand, right? He's going to be home for a few days and then he's going to be gone. In February, he left to go to Italy. So like he was going to be gone, like gone and like on a completely different time zone. That is interesting. Like we do video chat him or, you know, we send him pictures or he'll send pictures or whatever. So we definitely keep in contact that way. But like we just went to see him a couple weeks ago and we got him for like 5 days, 6 days. And that was great. Like the two of them, it's really sweet. Like they're super cute. Like she's obsessed with him, which I mean, I am too, but he's like really sweet. And it's aww, interesting because he is this huge, like he lifts a lot and he's just like built really well. And then when he was in high school, him and his buddies, like they were on the defensive end, like or D-line for football. So they're all like these big guys, but the way that they would turn into like these little like puddles of water, like these little softies, like when they would come over and play with her, was just like the sweetest thing. But yeah, so it's interesting, like the different relationships that they've got. Like it's cute and playful with my stepdaughter, but then like with my stepson, like she's like climbing on him like he's a jungle gym, or you know, just being silly with him. So it's really cute. But I think that sometimes for stepmoms, that's a hard dynamic, especially if you are struggling in one of your relationships with your stepkid. And then your own kid is like, oh, I can't wait to see my sister or my brother. And you're like, I can definitely wait. Right. And so that's hard. But it also, if you're open to it, is another way to see your stepson or your stepdaughter, because you get to see it through this innocent view of your child. Sometimes it helps you like get over whatever it is that they've done to annoy you, frustrate you, wrong you, whatever that is. But again, like that part of it takes growth too, like to see them in that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's just so many different components and so many different, you know, layers of parenting and co-parenting and navigating everything. So I think, you know, the work that you're doing is amazing. And I think, you know, people are looking for help in so many different specific situations. And so I was really excited and I feel like I've learned a lot and like I've been able to see, you know, like the perspective of being this stepchild.
Yeah.
And like really comprehending that. And I think like it really is just like having that conversation, opening up different perspectives and understanding that, you know, you can look at it differently. And like, I think, you know, you allowing that space for the moms to open up the other perspectives and gain that confidence and really, you know, fall into this new role that they're stepping into is just awesome.
I do remember what I was going to say to you when you were talking about like organizing like your room and like, I think that is a huge part of struggles with like step parents and their step kids, especially like step moms, because typically step moms are the ones running the house. And so when you come in and like, I expect the vacuum to be ran this way, or the house to be vacuumed this way, or the dishes to be done this way, or your bed to be made. I'm a bed maker too. So when you said that, I was like, you're speaking my language, but like your bed has to be made, like all of these things. And maybe that's not how they were raised. Right. Which is funny. Cause like even you and your sister, like totally different. Me and my sister, totally different too, even though you're in the same house.
Yes.
But when you have stepkids and you've never been a mom before, or you don't have kids of your own in any capacity, and then all of a sudden you're thrown into it, it's hard to adjust your expectations for kids, right? Like I expect when you do the dishes, you know, you stand the plates up so the water drains off of them, or you don't put the bowls face down on the mat and like there's condensation all in there. You know, kids don't understand that. They don't grasp that. So it's just, hey, Sarah, the next time that you're doing the dishes, can you, you know, thank you. So I always say sandwich it, like, thank you so much for doing the dishes. That was amazing. Even though you're like, I have to go back and redo, right? Like, you know what I mean? And then like, you know, thank you so much for doing them. Next time that you do them, can you stand these up or, you know, whatever it is, adjust however you want to adjust and then end it with another compliment. But thank you so much. I can tell that you worked really hard on it. Open up that communication, have a dialogue. They don't know. Like they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And your way's not the wrong way.
I can different. Think of a lot of scenarios with that, with like my husband, like, you know, the complexity of you're just, you know, not only are you having one relationship that you are now, like maybe when you got married, it was the first time you're living with your spouse.
Yeah.
And now it's the first time that you're living with your spouse and their kids. Yep. And so like, you're really adding on just the complexity of the relationship. And it's not like you can pick and choose like who you're going to like, have, they are that person's child, like they are part of your life. It's not like, hey, like maybe we just won't see them as often.
Yeah, or, right.
like it's like they are like very integrated in your relationship. Yeah, I feel like again, like just like a touchy stuff, like that's that person's kids, like it's a whole, you know,
you're attacking my parenting and I'm not attacking your parenting. I just, this is how I want things done. And if they do them, and I, you know, that's actually a real life example. Like I had that and my stepson said, well, my mom does it this way. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I love that for your mom. Even though like a lot of stepmoms are like, I don't love that for their mom. I get that too, but that's what your mom does. This is what I do. You know, it's just like, and I would explain it to him. It's just like when you have teachers, some teachers want you to do your homework nightly. Some people don't. Some people, math, some teachers want you to show your work. Some of them don't. It's not right or wrong either way. It's just they do it differently. Or you've got bosses or you've got coaches. They coach differently. They boss differently. You have to adapt to different ways. You know, same thing, like different kids, different personalities. You have to adapt your parenting to those kids.
Yeah, do you have that? Yeah, I think like that's amazing advice. But do you have like any other like final words of wisdom or like extra added advice that like you really wish maybe was something that you had known when you were first becoming a stepmom that now you really instill in moms that you help coach?
Yeah. Get help early and often, because even you know, I was like, I don't need help. Like, I'm perfect. Like, whatever. I don't have kids and I don't have an ex. Like, I'm so good. But I didn't know what I didn't know. But then I've also not tried to navigate this on your own. And when you start something new, regardless of what it is, you need help. Even like when you're starting to learn how to ride a bike, you don't just go out and do it by yourself. Like, your parents are probably helping you. When you start a new job, somebody's there helping you. You go through orientation. You've got a manual that you follow, or, you know, people give you feedback. You get help. Like, you don't just navigate this on your own. And so that's what I say to stepmoms: get help early and often, even if it's good, because inevitably something will happen. Like, you'll just be like, oh, everything is great. Like, it's been great for 6 months. And then the other shoe drops. And if you're a stepmom listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. When the other shoe drops, it feels like you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Even though things are good, you're like, why are things good? Like, what's coming down the pipeline? And then if you're getting help and you've got that support, it's easy for you to navigate when it gets challenging, or it's easier for you to have different coping skills or different coping mechanisms to get through that hard part. Whew, yeah, get help early and often. I wish I would have known that. I would have gotten help a lot sooner.
Yeah. Well, how can we reach you, get in contact with you? Where are you hanging out on social media? Tell us all the details.
Sure. Instagram is my platform of choice. It's just at Alicia Krasko. My website is aliciakrasko.com. Those are two ways you can get into contact with me. I offer coaching, like one-to-one coaching for stepmoms. I also coach stepdads too. So if you're a stepdad listening to this, or if you're a mom and you've got a partner that's a step parent, I can absolutely help you out with that, whether it's a stepmom or a stepdad. And then I have a private membership specifically for stepmoms. It's called the Stepmom Side Community, because I've got a Stepmom Side podcast as well. But the Stepmom Side Community is private chat community forum for stepmoms. But I have weekly office hours in there where you can come in, like, pick my brain, ask me anything. Hey, this is going on. What do I do in this situation? Or just come in and say hi, like, hey, you know what? This is going really well. Like, this advice really worked, or this didn't work. Can you help me out with that? And then I do group coaching once a month, and members of the Stepmom Side get discounts on coaching. So just a little plug there. If you're looking for coaching and you want a discount, become a member.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much. Like, this has been an awesome conversation. I feel like we could just keep on chatting forever. It's like, yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want the conversation to end, but it's like all, you know, I mean, the world of moms, like, we're all busy, and it's just like, you know, I think connecting people with the resources that are going to get them that help, and like allowing them to see that there are resources out there, and even as specific as something as, you know, like a stepmom, like, not just, you know, oh, I'm a motherhood coach. As like, you know, it's like, oh, like, I coach moms. And it's like, no, like, I specifically am working with that mom who is entering a family that is going to be blended. And I am becoming a mom to these children in a, in a whole unique way. So,
yeah. I never would have thought that I'd be a stepmom coach ever. Like, in my early years, I'm like, this sucks. I hate this. I'm never like going to talk about it. It took me like 7 years to like publicly talk about being a stepmom, because it's so taboo. Yeah. But yeah, I love it. Like, it's incredibly rewarding for me. I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, mamas, so much for listening. Remember, you are a rock star. I believe in you. Let's doula this. Let's crank it up a notch, and let's kick it into high gear together. Hit that subscribe button. Share this episode with a friend. Message me, email me, call me, beat me. You know how to reach me. We're doing this, mamas. I am so excited to catch you here next week. This is your one-stop, go-to place for helping you find the resources you need to make the best choices for you and your family during pregnancy, birth, and most importantly, postpartum. See you later, mamas.